The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Ferrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Ferrell on the bench. In the biggest way possible, hanging out a bad seat, a broken date, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad letters, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Ferrell Palatia, right across the river through the woods from where Granny loves her hybrid banana Mac cartridge in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up, should do, but all my friends that come around, flats and flats and party up, rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown, but a mess is tied to dad, my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should be shaking. Ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's Ferrell with Mafia again tonight. And I'm looking forward to the Nets-Suns game, except the fact that, Kyrie's not playing, he's got back stiffness, KD's out with the hammy strain. So it really is up to the beard. James Harden has to carry the Nets tonight in the Valley against D-Book, Ayton, and CP3 and the Suns without his weapons. Of course, I think, Durant's the straw that stirs the drink. I think Kyrie's been unbelievable in the two. Shooting guard, lighting it up, did it again last night. They spanked the Kings in Sacktown, and you get a beard triple-double on top of the 40-plus from Kyrie. It really is incredible when they play together, and when all three of them play at the same time, they are unstoppable, and that is all there is to it. Offensively, they cannot be stopped. No one has come close to being able to shut him down, but the bottom line is it's their defense that's the concern, and certainly injuries are a concern. It's no different than when I talk about the Lakers, no AD. They're not the same team, obviously. And then tonight they're struggling in Minneapolis against the T-Wolves. What it is about that rivalry is that, the Minneapolis Lakers, for some reason, they go back in history and, you start talking about the Lakers being the, Minneapolis Lakers and people go crazy thinking that it's like some kind of botchy jinx. I mean, obviously, that team's awful. They suck. They're terrible. They're like the worst team in the league, even with Kat. I mean, let's face facts, right? And then it seems like every time they play them, they give them a game. It's 98-89 right now. Lakers, they're 21-7. Meanwhile, the T-Wolves, 7 wins. And then in that game tonight, LeBron's got 28, Schroeder 22, Harrell 15, and then on the other side, the rookie Edwards 18 to lead the T-Wolves. Towns 15 and 5. So Rubio's got 13 and 5 dimes. Reed's got 10. McLaughlin has 13. So everybody chipping in for the lowly T-Wolves against the Lakers tonight. L.A. should still finish them off. We welcome in our radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline USA, Armed Forces Radio, hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's Pharrell on a bench. I'm Pharrell with Mafia tonight. So that's happening. Anyway, the bottom line is I want to see what Harden does by himself. It's the same thing. If Durant gets injured, he's out. You get Kyrie, you know, pinky one week, back the next. It's always something with Kyrie Irving. It really is. I won't deny he's brilliant. I won't deny he's great. I won't deny I like watching him play ball. I won't deny he fills it up and can't be stopped. That's fine. And I also won't change my opinion of him that he's just constantly out. It's just, has he ever played a full week of basketball? I mean, honestly, like, he misses more games than anyone. It's just absolutely surreal to me how often this guy misses. It really is. It just boggles my mind. I can't get over it. So if you don't play defense and then you got guys that miss games all the time, how are you going to win an NBA championship? I'm telling you, if Davis and LeBron, anything happens to them, the Lakers aren't winning jack shack. And I'll tell you another thing. The Nets aren't winning anything if they don't play defense. And then if KD's out every other day and Irving's out every other day. I mean, you know what's funny? What's funny is that Harden's the one that plays every day. Have you ever seen anything like that guy? He is an absolute workhorse. Do you ever remember him missing games in Houston? The guy just plays every night. And now he carries the team. He's the point guard because he's better. He's the point guard because he is a better point guard than Kyrie Irving. I mean, he really is. Did you see him the other night, last night? What did he have? It's every night. He's 14, 15, 16 dimes. How many did he have, Mafia? 16. I mean, it's just insanity. So that guy shows up every night. The other two, I can't speak for. I love Durant. I want that, you know, easy money sniper on the floor every night. Because if he's playing, they're winning. That's all I know. When he's in the lineup, they win. I don't care about anything else. But he's, God, the guy was out a week with the protocol, contact tracing. Now he's out with a hammy. Like, Christ, I can't keep up with all of their maladies. It's Pharrell on a bench.
You're listening to a different kind of sports talk.
We're not just talking about sports,
but talk about sports you can use. Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the bench, 844-843-6879 to get on the bench. I'm keeping an eye on all these games for you tonight. The Lakers lead is 103-89 over the T-Wolves in many, 6.5 left. Pelicans blowing out the Grizzlies tonight, 5.5 left, 127-104. 127-104, they're up big. That game's toast. Good game going on in Milwaukee right now. How about the Raptors? 5 minutes left. They're up 3 on the Bucks. I want to take a look at that one. You know something's going on when they're winning in Milwaukee. Van Vliet with a 30 spot and 4 threes. Lowry's got 18 and 3 threes. Siakam 16, 9 and 5. Ananobi 11, 5 and 1. Now Van Vliet another 3. He's got 33 now and 5 threes, and they're winning. Greek Freak has 34, 9, and 8, a big game from him, and Portis 16, Connaughton a 20 spot with 4 threes, and Forbes 11, Middleton 9. How is it that Middleton has 9 points? in 34 minutes. He's 3 of 6 from the floor. Is there anything more obvious than when they don't win is when that guy does nothing? I mean, honestly, is he not supposed to be their, like, number two scorer? I know DiVincenzo's got 12, but Middleton's, got 9 points. It's just not good enough. That's all there is to it. 117-109 now as the Raptors looking to win in Milwaukee. I'm a little bit surprised by that. Blazers up 7 on the Thunder in Oak City with a minute 44 left. And the Celtics finally win a game. They beat the Nuggets 112-99. I'm surprised that they won tonight. I bet on Denver. I actually thought, the Celtics have been so awful lately. And Danny Ainge took the fall on the sword for the team's poor play, as if he has anything to do with it. They never blame Brad Stevens for anything, ever. It is so unbelievable to me. That guy could lose 50 in a row and they'd blame Mother Teresa. They don't blame Stevens ever for anything. I have never seen a coach in my life get more passes than Brad Stevens. I mean, with all those titles he hasn't won in Boston. You know what I mean? Like, all I keep hearing about, I don't know what's worse, McVay or him. McVay's the Rams coach, genius, smarter than all of us, better than all of us, greatest coach ever, with nothing to show for it. And then your boy, he went to the Super Bowl and lost. And then this guy, he never does anything either. And then when they lose, it's never his fault, ever. They don't blame the players or the coach ever. That Danny Ainge takes the fall. It's so ridiculous. It's not even funny. How phony is that? I have never seen what coach in the NBA doesn't take abuse every time they lose. They blame, coaches get it every time they lose. It's just constant. Fire the coach. Fire everyone. Fire the staff. He's terrible. You got to get rid of him. It's unbelievable. The Celtics don't win in a month, and Brad Stevens wants some more community awards. I can never understand it, Mafia. You can't even argue it. That guy is like, it is so unbelievable. He's the Teflon Don. Nothing ever happens to him. Not only does he never even remotely ever come close to getting fired, ever, not even close, not that I think he should be fired at all, but I'm saying, I don't think they would ever fire a guy with the juice he has in Boston, because have you ever once seen a guy get blamed for anything? Ever. Like, nothing. Ever. This guy absolutely gets away with murder. And they don't win. They get to the Eastern Finals, whatever. They still lose. They always find a way to lose. And they still don't blame him.
Yeah, I agree with you. This guy, it's not like he's won. Usually you got to have that cachet of winning before you get that kind of immunity in your coaching career. Guys like Coughlin, when he was struggling, it was like, oh, well, he got a Super Bowl. Who cares, in the NFL? Or, all these guys, Spoelstra, like, even when they've had their years that they were kind of lean, it was not his fault. So you have to win usually to get that. This guy hasn't done that on any level. It's not like he was a huge winner in college either before he got there, but somehow he's impervious to all this. First it was Kyrie's fault, then it was, oh, because Kyrie's hurt, then it was, oh, well, we need to get rid of Kyrie, and then they built the team without Kyrie last year. That was supposed to be it, right, with Tatum and Brown and Walker, and they, faltered again, and, oh, well, it's the bubble. There's always excuses.
It's a bubble. What about Spoelstra? He never gets blamed either, but I actually think Spoelstra's, without a doubt, he's accomplished more. It always helps having LeBron James around for a couple years to get some rings, but I think even without him, you can't deny what he's done in Miami is better than what Stevens has done in Boston.
Oh, yeah, of course. Anywhere you get titles is definitely done better than the guy who doesn't. But, that team's usually not very forgiving. They usually will go after everybody. Doc Rivers won a title. Didn't he get roasted by them and run out of town? But meanwhile, Brad Stevens, for some reason, won't.
But, what I'm saying is that sans the two titles, right? Take those off the board because of LeBron. Right. It makes Spoelstra look like a genius. Meanwhile, LeBron and, D-Wade, Bosh – And Allen, are you kidding me? That's why they won, not Eric Spoelstra. I think Spoelstra is a really, really excellent coach. But my question to you is, after LeBron left, when there was no more LeBron and they didn't have a super team, I think he's still been better than Stevens. And I thought last year proved it.
Yeah, I agree with you. You agree with you. He's definitely gotten more out of guys. I don't want to say lesser players. I mean, in some cases, it has been lesser players. They've had some guys that they've, you know, completely missed on in the draft, and still the team was, you know, pretty solid. I mean, all the years that he got out of Udonis Haslam, that guy was no one, you know, coming into this league and was a great player for them all those years. He got, you know, as much as he could out of Wade until he was completely out of gas. And then now he's built this team up with, you know, Jimmy Butler's awesome, and we know that Bam's incredible. But, I mean, no one was really jumping on Hero and Robinson, these other guys, to be, you know, like superstar kind of pieces to bring a team to the finals. Like, oh, yeah, Jimmy Butler's nice. They had a couple nice pieces. I don't know they have enough, but they went a lot further than all those stars and Brown and Tatum and Kemba, right?
Well, I mean, no one thought for 1 minute that Hero Sandwich and your boy Robinson, two skinny white boys that no one gave a second thought to, would be better than Tatum and Brown and Walker and Smart and the rest of that team, Tice and Williams. They got all these guys that can play. And I won't deny the guys in Miami can play. I said it today, though. I think Miami is so much better with the Dragon in the lineup. When Dragic's out there, he's phenomenal as the point, as the leader, getting buckets, tough buckets, threes, drives, fouls, getting to the line, dishing, finishing. He's got incredible game and incredible touch and an incredible use of the glass. I love that guy's game with his, you know, jimmies off the glass and kisses off the glass and spins off the glass. He's, I think, everything to that team. And they're playing with just Butler right now and no Dragic, and they're still having a pretty decent trip. And I know the next couple nights they have brutal games coming up. There's no doubt about it. So they play the Warriors tomorrow night at the Chase in San Francisco. And then the next night they play in Sacramento. So Wednesday and Thursday, they got really tough games. So when we come back, we're going to talk to Rick Harrow, our sports business and legal insider from Harvard, on the show. We'll get into everything that we didn't touch on today on Coast to Coast with him. He usually does a double shot. Still going on. Lakers up 10, a minute left. Pelicans now up 30. I mean, they are killing the Grizzlies. The Bucks down 117-109. Celtics win. Blazers just checked in 115-104 over the Thunder. Throwing a bench, so the Lakers just won that game by 8. I was laying 7.5. Cover by the hook. Rick Harrow's our sports business and legal insider on Sports Grid, Coast to Coast, and for on the bench from Harvard. Here he is. All right, so Rick, good to have you on the bench, waxing up tonight. I want to ask you, I was looking at a story you did about the Super Bowl ratings and how bad they were. And then you talk about the streaming numbers, though, were phenomenal. And then I sent Mafia a story for tomorrow on Coast to Coast about why millennials, and I'm assuming that's the new, I can't keep track of these age groups, but it's basically, I guess, in the window of 18 to 49. I don't even know, but that's what they're selling me. And I'm reading this story, and it was about the fact that they don't care about teams. All they care about is players, fantasy players. So if a guy, like, for instance, they gave the example, if Henry leaves the Titans and goes somewhere else and plays there for 5 years, the millennial fan will follow him wherever he goes and become a fan of that team, much like Tom Brady fans followed him from New England to Tampa, and they suddenly became Tampa Bay fans. They don't care about rooting for the team their dad brainwashed them to root for, like I've done with my kids and the Steelers. Or, you know, I'm sure you brainwashed your daughters to root for the Dolphins. But you see what I'm saying? Why is it that millennials and Generation Z and whatever the hell else they're called, Zs, millennials, that they don't care about watching sports on television?
You know, it's interesting because it's not just fantasy. And because it's not the young kids that are playing fantasy. It's all of the middle-aged folks that are just not getting to play it, plus some of the millennials. But you're absolutely right. I would follow whoever the Dolphins get and lose, whether they're Dolphins or Giants, or, you know, I still think Zaka, Kick, and Warfield play for the Dolphins before the WHL stole them, and on and on and on. But, you know, the bottom line of all of this is I'm not sure it translates into less people watching the game. I think a lot of it has to do with people streaming on devices, and we're not knowing how to measure yet. We're not catching up. You know, we talked about streaming increasing significantly, 70% in some cases, and we talked about the game being the lowest rated ever. Well, I don't buy the fact that just because of the pandemic, 20% less human beings watched the Super Bowl in all cases. I don't think that's true at all, to be honest about it. And as soon as we figure out how to measure apples to apples and know exactly how many eyeballs are watching, we can evaluate how many are doing fantasy, how many are doing gaming, and then maybe we'll figure out, is it the team or is it the player?
So, Rick, if let me ask you this in more in depth. You're telling me that, and I find this hard to believe, because when I sat down to watch the Super Bowl, strangely enough, I remember we got a snowstorm that day here in New York, and we got about 6 inches or something fresh. So I had a lot to do, believe it or not, the next morning real early, and I think my wife had to go out and pick up kids or something. I don't remember, but I had to snow blow the driveway. So I started snow blowing the driveway at like 10 after 6. The game started at 6:30. So right when I got done at like 6:25, I put the snowblower in the garage. I walk inside. I turn on the TV. I got the big, you know, TV going. I got all the food going. I got it all going. I still watch football games on a television. I don't watch football games on my iPhone. I don't, like, I have ESPN Plus, I'll be honest. I have it, and I know Mafia has it. He watches, you know, fights on it, the UFC and everything else. And then they have games on there every night. Like, if I turned it on right now, there'd be 15 college basketball, small schools playing on ESPN Plus that I could sit and watch the game on my iPhone. I have to tell you, Rick, watching sports on my iPhone is as bad as my vision is now at 55. I have to watch everything I do. I have to have glasses on. And when I have to watch sports on a little dinky iPhone monitor, or even if I turn it sideways and it's flat and long and I watch the game, it sucks. I don't care what anybody says. And streaming on a phone sucks. I watch games on television.
Don't you agree the only reason you'd be watching a game on a phone or even on a tablet is because you can't get in front of a TV. You're somewhere else. And so,
right.
You know, at the end of the day, it's that we've got to be able to measure people who want to watch because they'd rather watch TV, which is everybody, and then people who are still watching in businesses and in parks and places where they're just not in front of a TV. You still got to count them. All else being equal, I'd never watch a game on a small TV, except if I'm in a hotel and Sunday Ticket is the only thing I can get, and I'll do it on a tablet because I want to watch the Dolphins. That's a different story, and you still ought to be able to count that because people are watching the NFL, and we haven't caught up to that yet. You know, Mark Lazarus is a good friend, and he's been with NBC for a long time and with Turner before. And we've had long conversations about how do you measure this stuff. And if the company came up with a measuring device, it would look self-serving. Yeah, they're coming up with it because they want big numbers. Well, Madison Avenue's got to come up with it because people will look at the numbers and then purchase ads based on those numbers. And if you don't have everybody counted, it's not fair to the sport that you're trying to charge advertising for.
So, Rick, let me ask you this question. Is it, and we got a lot to talk about tonight, but I kind of want to get into this before we break, and then we'll get into the other stuff after. So let me get this straight. So if television and sports is saturated as much as it is, like I'm always talking about how the UFC is on every week of the year now. There's literally a card every Saturday of the year. They have like no ever days off. They just, it's so saturated now. I don't even enjoy it anymore. I just, there's no anticipation at all when you go from Saturday to Saturday to Saturday to Saturday and there's nothing but fights. Basketball, college, there'll be 50 games on. NBA, every night, you can count on 2-3 games at least. Automatic. If you're in New York, you got the local teams too. But nationally, you can count on just about every night a game being on something. ESPN, TNT, whatever. And then football, they show, you know, all these games on Sunday, Monday, Thursday. And then they got college now on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Do you think that people... and I mean this, that people in general, families, like I know my wife doesn't watch it. I know my daughter doesn't watch it. Meanwhile, she's a little basketball star, but she doesn't watch basketball if you paid her. And my son watches Marvel, you know, The World's Ending. He watches all the, like, Endgame, Infinity Wars, Civil Wars, all those, you know, Avenger movies. He'd rather watch that and play PS5 than watch sports. And he's a basketball player that plays on a high school team. My question is, are people getting oversaturated with sports and they're sick and tired of it? They don't even want to watch it anymore.
Yeah, and we're never going to know. I mean, we could know by measuring everything. But I still think at the end of the day, you're going to have more people watching sports than ever before, just exactly because of the reason you identify, because there's so many games you can watch anywhere. And I think what it means is that if people want to watch, you know, Mountain West football, how about what's coming up, by the way? You realize that starting next week, the spring football season is starting again? So if you want to watch some of the conferences that didn't play this last year, you can start watching college football again. Doesn't have a national championship, but if we want to watch it, we can watch it. And you could say, look, if you don't want to watch it and you're tired of it, then just turn it off. Well, it's not that simple. But at the end of the day,
Excuse me. What do you mean? Like, so I remember all the conferences that said they weren't going to play in the fall, were going to play in the spring, and I forgot all about that because I was so busy not caring. You're telling me that next week they start playing all those crappy conferences are going to start playing college football games?
Yeah, so next week, next Tuesday, I will get the schedule, and you and I will talk about the games that are going to start debuting the following weekend. And I was shocked because I saw, you know, a lot of the D2, a lot of the conferences, and we're going to have it. We're going to have college football, whether we like it or not. And here we go.
I mean, that is just absolutely crazy. But you're telling me they're just going to play the games and try to make some money, and then there's not going to be any tournament or bowl games or any championship of any sort at all? They're just going to play some games, and we're going to watch, and that'll be that?
Well, we're going to watch, but we're not going to watch a lot, but we're going to watch more than if we didn't have them. And I will get, by next Tuesday, the rundown of which conferences are actually going to have championship games. There might be a couple. I can't guarantee that. But some of the internal conferences, the Big Skies of the world that will be playing, may have championship games as opposed to having just the team with the best record automatically win the conference. Remember, they were going to have a lot of remember when Kevin Warren was talking about the Big Ten postponing right. Their season to the spring. Then you realize, well, nobody's going to play because anybody that was any good is going to hold themselves out for the NFL right. camp. So you're going to have a lot of the players with not playing. Well, a lot of these smaller schools don't have those issues, so they are going to play.
All right, we'll come back and talk about the Tech Top 5 and the Good Sports 5 with Rick Haro from Harvard, our sports business insider, the professor.
Our goal is subtle,
but profound.
We want you,
Sporto,
to hold court at the company water cooler every Friday and Monday.
Get it?
That's the winning edge. All you gotta do is listen. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the Bench with Rick Haro. You know, Rick's been doing the shows with me for 20 years, and it's crazy how long we've been doing it, how far we go back. Think about it. I've been doing it for 35 years, the shows in my career, and then whatever. So, I mean, Haro's been a part of that now for, you know, well over half of it. That's crazy when you think about it. I've seen him, you know, both of us have gotten old, and I've seen his golf game shrink to nothing at this point.
Well,
although he is golfing
thing.
He's golfing every day of the week, though, and I'm shoveling snow in my driveway.
Every other day, not every day of the week. And now that I'm growing a beard, you know, and every other day, it's not coming in black, it's coming in gray, which is really kind of tasteless when you think about it. For a couple of days, it's great. But then when I start scaring people, it's bad. When I start scaring my dog, it's really bad.
Well, you know, I've seen you. It's remarkable how hairy you are, because I've seen you shave your beard and grow it back in 5 days. And most people take like 3 weeks, 4 weeks to grow like a stash or a goatee or a beard. You do it in 5 days. We also had you in my studio once at Howard Stern, and we shaved your entire chest and back hair off with the man groomer. And then that was in the first hour of the show. By the fourth hour at 11 to 12 Eastern that night, it was 8 to midnight, the show. We did it at 8. At 11:15, your entire back and hair on the chest and back had grown back completely in 3 hours.
You know, you better be careful, because there are some people who are listening that may even believe that. So just be careful. That's all.
Listen, so we're clear, I'm not afraid of you. And I will throw you across a room. So I've heard all about your tough guy stuff. It's not going to work. Mafia, you might as well just tell him now that you and I like to kick people. Tell him, Mafia.
Yeah. Solve everything with violence, see, even when we should.
Yeah, solve everything with violence, but that's the case. See, it takes two of you, you know, by definition. Here you go. Now, listen, I can talk really loud when I'm, what, 1,300 miles away from you? So, you know, when I get closer, it's a... You know, it's just you work out every day.
So you
look much better than you used to.
I do. And let me tell you something.
Yeah, I know you do.
I box and kickbox for a half hour straight every day. If you tried to do that, they'd be putting a defibrillator on you in the parking lot at the golf club. I mean, if you would keel over trying to do what I do.
There is no doubt.
It's true.
There's no doubt. I'm not going to get in a physical fest with you. I think you're a better baller. I'm a better tennis player. I'm smarter. I'm better looking. And I know all that stuff. How's that sound?
Now, listen, I just want to establish here that I don't play tennis anymore. Fair enough. But I can tell you, it's like riding a bike for me. And I played tennis not only my entire life, but I won state championships and played college tennis for free. I went to college for free playing tennis. So I can tell you, if I serve, which I do 100 miles an hour plus, you're going to have problems with my serve. And then I'm 6'3", so when I come to the net, you're not getting the ball past me. But I will say this. I did lose to my Jewish neighbor one day, and he weighed 240, and that was when I realized that retiring was a really good idea. Because when I went out one day to play with him, he had me running all over the court, and I went home with blisters on the balls of my feet. It was a bad scene, and that was when I decided, you know what, quitting tennis was a really good idea. And I don't like golfing that much either, but I golf with you.
No, so I've seen you play golf, and you've hit a few balls 240. There was one shot when we were playing in New Jersey that I still can't believe, and to this day, I'll go to my grave not believing that shot. But, you know, 6'3 elevator shoes, I don't believe the tennis piece, but in the spring, we're going to see it. We'll test it.
Okay, so just so we're clear... that I grew up playing tennis on not only on clay, but on hard courts. And I will, I can promise you, when I was, I don't play anymore, so you'll beat me. But when I played, when I was a kid, from the time I was 10 years old until I played through 2 years of college, I realized how bad I sucked once I went to play college tennis, and I was the last guy on the team. When I went there, I thought I was the best player on the team. When I got there, I realized I was the worst player on the team because guys were just crushing balls and killing me. But all I know is I was really good at one time playing tennis in my life. And then one day I told Mavia, you know, why is it that I'm only good at sports that are soft, like golf and tennis? And then that was when I started playing basketball again. It's true. I told you before, watching golf on television is like watching a ball fly through the blue sky. I've had more fun in a lawyer's office talking about getting out of federal prison than watching golf on television. And tennis is even worse. The only thing good about tennis at all, the only thing good about it is John McEnroe when he played. Not even now, because now he's trying to be 30. Now he's trying to be 30, and he's 70, and he's acting like he's 30 with his clothes and his nine chains around his neck and his wrist chains and his expensive, you know, 20-year-old guy clothes that he wears. But the bottom line is, he is the biggest thing in tennis, even as he doesn't play anymore. That's how bad tennis is, that John McEnroe is still the most important thing in tennis. And when he played, he was a badass, and he was crazy and a psychotic, and he threw rackets and got in arguments with chair umpires better than anyone ever. And ever since, every player sucks. I love Federer, but he sucks too compared to John McEnroe, and you know it.
Hawkeye killed John McEnroe.
He's boring.
Didn't give him anything to argue about anymore. Yeah, and listen, one quick thing. If I Googled Scott Farrell, Indiana University tennis, what would I find?
You'd find failure. But let me tell you something.
All right, there you go.
Let me tell you something. You cannot argue with me that Federer and Joker, and the only one that's exciting is Nadal, because he picks his butt and because he wins the French Open every year.
How about Kyrgios? Hey, Kyrgios and Djokovic in a cage match. I mean, that would be fun.
Well, Kyrgios is interesting with his temper, and he's psychotic. The problem with Kyrgios is that he's worse than me at tennis. He's so awful. I mean, the guy never wins anything. He's never won a thing in his life. He's the worst tennis player I've ever seen with a temper. In fact, if you have a temper in tennis, you have to be good to be effective with your temper. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that's true. That's fair. No, that's very fair. And Djokovic, we talked about it this afternoon. The meltdown with him is just—it's beyond the pale. I don't get it. The guy's, you know, disqualified from a major for hitting a linesman, and then he still has a meltdown on the court. So it may be that COVID is getting to some of these athletes. I don't know. One of these days, we ought to discuss that too, because I think that's a big issue that nobody's talked about. There's a lot of stress on these guys too. Now, you know, let's not hold a bake sale for these folks. They're making $20, $30, $40 million a year, but it's got to be hard for some of these guys too.
Okay, so Top Tech, baseball has agreed to allow in-game access to video footage throughout the games, but with new features to combat potential cheating instances. What's that about?
Yeah, well, there's going to be gaming opportunities for access with video, and Rob Manfred heard appeals and pleas and is reinstating player access to video footage in-game. Now there'll be no communal viewing area in a tunnel back to the clubhouse, but only individual iPads for players to use. New angle that prohibits players from seeing what signs the catchers were laying back to the pitcher. An attempt to do away with sign stealing. We've already had the cheating, but now MLB through the network is trying to regulate what people can see and what they can't.
And what is this clubhouse app for audio?
Well, the buzz around the clubhouse hashtag sports notes that the fast followers are positioning themselves as a clubhouse for sports. So if social audio catches on in sports, it remains to be seen if whether it's best suited around specific communities. So there are companies, for example, an audio-based social networking startup called Clubhouse. It's valued at $100 million. They're raising a lot of money. So a lot of these companies are trying to figure out how to sneak audio, and even though the leagues aren't allowing it, they're saving it for like special times, like Super Bowl shows where you get the player audio. I love that stuff. But baseball is trying to regulate it as best they can.
So what is the NBC 121? What was that about?
Yeah, well, it's a big tech company developing conferences. Synopsis says NBC Universal is creating a lot of these get-togethers with entrepreneurs and creative professionals. They're talking about their development roadmap into the future, and they're trying to figure out how to maximize benefits for their advertising partners. Just another example of what NBC is trying to do to get value. So a lot of the sponsors are meeting to see what kind of activation, what kind of camera angles, what kind of interactive. And it's going to work because at the end of the day, these are partners who are sold on the network and are trying to get more money because of it.
So tell me what Kaepernick and the Suns co-owner are doing to develop companies?
Yeah, well, you know, we've heard about SPACs. It's kind of hard to describe what it is, but you're raising money based on people's ability to spend. It's kind of like a blind trust fund. And they're creating these companies with shares that are selling for a significant amount. They're creating a whole new category within a category, SPACs for social good. So Colin Kaepernick is lending his name with the co-owner of the Suns, and they're creating this company to advance the aim of only investing in companies with meaningful societal values. So charity companies, foundations, all of that stuff will get money from these SPACs. Got to have a return because people aren't investing based on making money, but this is the first time they've ever tried to do this. So good for them.
Let me ask you finally, the Panthers have found a way to beat the Lightning a couple times here, and the Panthers are out of their second-best start in franchise history. No one ever cares about hockey in South Florida unless they're in the playoffs, and no one can go to the games. Do they let anybody into the Panther games these days because Florida's so liberal about their not believing in COVID?
Yeah, well, they're starting to. And over in Tampa, people are doing it. And in fact, it's a hard ticket, as we know, because they're the defending Stanley Cup champions. And I know a lot of my friends who are season ticket holders over there are upset because they're not able to go to every game. And there are lotteries with people who have season tickets to get in and not get in. You know, what's interesting is 2 weeks ago here in South Florida, we would have had the NHL All-Star game. And no plans to know when it was returning, but this was an example of Gary Bettman saying, let's see if we can give South Florida a little bit of a kickstart by an All-Star game, and now COVID cancels that.
All right, I got really quick, 15 seconds. Do you think the NBA is making a mistake having an All-Star game in Atlanta?
Well, they're certainly helping TNT and Turner because the network is five blocks away from State Farm Arena. But, you know, let's see what they do to try to control COVID. The big issue is all the superstars coming in from out of town. And, you know, if one gets it, then nobody's going to like the decision. So we'll just have to see.
And all the strippers will get it, too, because they'll all be at the strip clubs.
Well done.
All right, Rick, great job. We'll see you next week on Coast to Coast.
All right, man.
All right, there he is, Rick Harrow. Watching D-Book just work on Shamet in the low block and just man him up and go right to the tin and get an easy bucket kiss off the glass. The Suns are up about a 10 spot on the Nets early in the first in the Valley. They've been hot. They've won like 9 of 10. They're playing great ball. CP3's changed everything. Certainly in that franchise. I mean, I thought that they were really good in the bubble last year, even without him. And I thought D-Book was on fire at the scene down in Disney in the bubble. But they've come right out with CP3 this year. They rolled him out, and they put him in that offense. Monty Williams has done a great job. They're loaded with talent. And they're young, and then they got this kick-ass veteran, badass point guard that knows how to get it on no matter where he plays. That's what I love about him. He's like played everywhere. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, and he's moved around a little bit the last few years, but it doesn't matter where he goes. He just performs at a high level and wins. That's just all there is to it. He makes plays. He drops dimes like you eat food. I mean, that's as simple as that. You believe your boy Haro trying to pick fights with us, Mafia? Like, that's just not going to go well for him. It's just, that's a dangerous way to make a living, boy. Dying ain't much of a living, boy. I got to do that in my best Clint Eastwood voice. Here we go. Dying ain't much of a living, boy. Did you like that one, Mafia? I think that would be a no in terms of response time there on the Clint Eastwood imitation. We have another full hour of audio entertainment for you coming. And the rest of the Suns-Nets game, violence is certain.